بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Tonight's topic is hope and fear. Fear and hope. My brothers and sisters, I have a theory. I don't know if you share this with me. My theory is that when babies are born, in the first few weeks to about maybe 2 months, they don't know the difference between who is friend and who is foe. You might say that's obvious, but I have a theory about it. The way I can tell when a child starts to know the difference between their parents and who is a stranger is when you put your finger in their hand, they either squeeze it or they let go of it. Have you ever tried that before? Try it. Newborn, if you have newborn, just put your finger in their palm and see if they hold on to it or if they let go. Get a stranger to do it. All right? The moment they stop holding on to your hand, especially if they look at you, they know the stranger from the parent and the close one. And subhanAllah, in Allah's creation, there are always lessons for us. And you know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the day and the night are signs for people who ponder and reflect, even in babies, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that baby, subhanAllah, intuitively, from the beginning, knows the difference innately between fear and safety. Nobody taught that baby. Nobody taught that baby. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this innate intuition. And some scholars are of the tafsir, the opinion, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He breathed into us, into Adam, our father, which is all of us, from His spirit, meaning His created spirit, they say that this is one of the pathways of getting closer to Allah and connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a baby is born, they also have an innate connection with their parents. And amazingly, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He mentions the parents, He mentions His name in the same sentence. For example, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And your Lord has ordered you to worship none other but Him, and to be dutiful in goodness to your parents. Because, subhanAllah, the safety net is with your parents. And since Allah mentioned His name before your parents, your ultimate safety net and security is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah gives us a little feeling of how it is with our parents, and then He tells us that He is more merciful than your parents. For He is the one who put into you the innate nature of fear, safety and hope, and He is the one who put in your parents the natural, unconditional feeling of love and connection to you and you to them. The source of it is Allah, God subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says in the Quran, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. أَلَا, in Arabic, behold, it is in the remembrance of Allah do the hearts find rest and ease. Allah also says in the Quran, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَّحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Never despair from the mercy of Allah. And when Yaqub, Jacob, Israel, Yaqub, the prophet Yaqub, his name is Israel as well, he said to his children, وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. Do not despair from the mercy and support of Allah. إنه لا ييأس من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون. No one despairs and gives up any hope in Allah's mercy and support except those who disbelieve in Him. So safety gets rid of fear. And fear is the opposite of safety and hope. Fear, my dear brothers and sisters, is a very natural, normal thing to feel. And there is a good fear and a bad fear. And there is good hope and courage, and there is bad hope and courage. Fear, good fear, healthy fear, is the one that prevents you from danger, makes you calculate your next step, allows you to prepare, makes you become active and productive. To be active so that you can produce and perform and be successful and go against odds. Unhealthy fear is the debilitating one, otherwise called excessive fear or phobia. And that is the one that debilitates you. It's when you constantly fear irrationally about the future, about the present, fearing that the past will come back, fearing sickness, fearing danger, fearing this, fearing that. I mean, everywhere they go. And this is an irrational fear that debilitates you. That comes from the shaitan. What does it mean from the shaitan? It means he whispers this into you to get a hold of you. And followed after that is huzn, which means sadness. And with sadness, you do nothing. The opposite of it is hope, courage, and security. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us to hope, courage, and security. He said, for example, in the Quran, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Run away to Allah. There is your safety and your security. I think you've heard this story from me and maybe some other lectures, but I'd like to mention it to you now in case you haven't heard it. It has a very good lesson in it. You know that we learn from our children many lessons, isn't that correct? Do you learn from your children many lessons? Wallahi, I learn a lot. And I'll share with you, this happened to me when my daughter was about 2 years old. And I remember one time, there was something dangerous around her, and I tried to prevent her from it. And then I frowned and raised my voice because I feared for her safety. When I did that, she's not used to her father raising her voice. So she ran towards me. She ran towards me. And I was a little, still a bit upset. I said, no, I'm still upset. The more I said no, the more she cried. And she wants me. So after a few seconds, I placed her in my lap. And then she watched my face until my frown went. And I was smiling to her. She relaxed and she slept. Safety. Fear, safety. The one she found safety with is the one she feared. How? Can you be afraid of something and also love it and seek your security in it at the same time? No. Because the fear that we're describing here is different to the one you're thinking about. It is not the fear that a person has of a beast, a monster. It is not the fear of a lion or a tiger. You are fearing the most merciful, but yet the most powerful. You are fearing the most compassionate, yet the most tremendous, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you fear your father, or you fear your mother, or you fear someone who cares for you, the fear is more of a fear of reverence. So you know there is a compassion with them and you can't help but find your security with them. Fearing Allah is a type of fear that you fear to lose the love that you felt with Allah. It's innate. Just like I realized my daughter lost something that she used to feel, and that is the closeness of her dad to her. When she got it back, she calmed down. When she felt it was disconnected, she was afraid. She's alone. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, the amount of attachment and trust that the companions had to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is unmatched. It's indescribable. The revelation from the heavens used to descend, and he used to recite the Quran. And Allah used to say, said in the Quran, Allah will never punish them or torture them while you are among them. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while you are among them. When he died, they felt that they were vulnerable. Maybe Allah's punishment, maybe Allah's torture, because he used to say in the Quran, Allah will not punish them or torture them while you are among them. وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ While you are among them. And he will continue to forgive them while you are among them. So when he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the whole Medina was shaken with fear, mixed with sadness and crying. One man said, if it is true, I don't want to see again, because he's the last one I want to see. Another man, Ali radiallahu anhu, is narrated to, couldn't speak anymore. Another man couldn't walk anymore, couldn't get up. Umar radiallahu anhu stood and said, whoever dares to say he died, I will hit him with my sword. He only went to God the way Moses went for 40 days. He'll be back. So when you're in fear and sadness, your rationale and your logic gets blocked off. And subhanAllah, your mind channels you sometimes to negativity and it yearns for safety. So the companions couldn't remember except the verses that made them more afraid because of the vulnerability and the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar radiallahu anhu, for example, forgot all the verses at that point or couldn't recollect them except the one about Moses going to God and coming back. Who was the only one who brought them back to their senses? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, as-Siddiq. He stood up and he said, Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat. Whoever used to worship Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, then he has died. He's returned to Allah. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ But whoever used to worship Allah, then Allah is living forever and he never dies. And then he recited, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ And Muhammad is none but a messenger like the messengers that passed away before him. فَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلُ If he dies or was killed, انقلبتم على أعقابكم, you turn against all your hope and even your convictions. ومن ينقلب على عقبيه فلن يضر الله شيئا. Whoever wants to do that and turn away cannot harm Allah in any way. وسيجزي الله الشاكرين. Allah will reward those who show gratitude. So who are we worshipping, brothers and sisters? Who do we find our safety net with? Who do we put our trust in? Who would we put our confidence in his plan? Who is the one who's always there for you? Who is the one that you should assume well of him? Who is the one that you should show gratitude to? People or the creator of people? The creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they forgot the other verses. And when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu reminded them, he came to Umar radiallahu anhu, and Umar radiallahu anhu had fallen to his knees and crying when he heard that verse of the Quran. And he said, I've memorized the whole Quran. How could I have forgotten this verse? It's fear and sadness. Some people are afraid, so they show it in anger, but they're really afraid. Some people are afraid, but they show it in sadness, but they're really afraid. Some people put on a show of confidence, but they're really afraid. Some people are nervous, but they're really afraid, and so on. And Umar radiallahu anhu said this, and the rest of the companions calmed down. They remembered what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And if my worshippers ask you about me, I am always close, I am always close, I am always close. So my dear brothers and sisters, we recite every day in the Salat, 5 times a day, many times, Surah Al-Fatiha. Right in the beginning we say, all gratitude and praise and thanks is to Allah, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, whose mercy never runs out. Why does Allah tell us to recite this all the time? Because He wants to tell us to connect among all His names and attributes, to connect to that, those two names and attributes more often in our life. My brothers and sisters, the best way to have a relationship with Allah and to find your security with Him and to experience the love is through connecting and knowing His names and attributes. Did you know that? God, Allah, we cannot touch Him. We don't see Him. So how do we connect to Him? You find safety and comfort with your loved ones. You cuddle with your father and mother when you feel afraid. If you're married, you cuddle with your wife and your husband. Yes, even men need to secretly cuddle their wives and find safety. They just don't tell you, sister. You're a safety net for him in a different way. So don't take that for granted. You have a power, mashallah. But also, brothers, your wife finds her safety net with you and through touches, through things like cuddling, through nice words, through listening. But we have this between us as humans, as creatures, as bodies and physical bodies. But how do we do it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You do it by knowing Him through what He showed you. He put into you ar-ruh, the soul, that secret thing, that phenomenal spirit, the soul, the ruh. And then He introduced to you Himself throughout the Qur'an. Almost every ayah, every verse in the Qur'an ends with a dual attribution. A dual attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim, Al-Rahim, Al-Ghafur, Al-Alim, Al-Hakim, Al-Halim, Al-Wadud. All these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have a special place after every verse according to the context. And through those names that we see at the end of the verse, the scholars have gathered Allah's names and attributes to the best of their ability. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to Allah belong 99 names. Whoever memorizes them and makes them part of their life, that's what it means. Hafidhahum, meaning you make them part of your life wherever you go and whatever you do, you're always conscious of them. And the more conscious of them as your life, in your life, the more you feel them. And your security and calmness comes to you, and your extreme fear decreases, and your hope increases. And if you do something wrong, you fear, but it's not a scary fear. It's a fear mixed with embarrassment, shyness, a sense of guilt, and you want to return back to Allah quickly. The fear of Allah is a type of fear for a believer that doesn't push him away. It's a type of fear, please understand what it means. Taqwa and khawf and khashya, all these three meanings are very comprehensive that are mentioned in the Quran. It's hard to find a perfect word in English. You know, English is made up of, what, I think 1 million or 2 million words. Arabic is 12 million words. So this fear is a type of fear which brings the believer closer to Allah, not away. And the type of hope and security that a believer feels with Allah is the type of hope and security which assumes well of their Lord, but does not take God for granted. See, there are people who hold on to hope so much that they start neglecting their duties. And they say, God is nice and merciful, that's it, I don't have to do anything. But they go and do every sin on earth. That's dangerous. Nor are they too afraid excessively to the point where they think no matter what they do, they're going to hellfire. Is this how you think of Allah? No. So fearing Allah is a type that brings you closer to Him. By knowing His names and attributes. For Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are 99 names of Allah, whoever memorizes them, lives with them and comprehends them will enter paradise, no doubt. There are actually more than 99 names of Allah, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam counted these 99 specifically as a minimum. But Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah belong all the beautiful names. Call upon Him with them. He also said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make this dua, oh Allah, I ask you, in all the names that are yours, which you named yourself with, or you sent them down in your holy books, in your book, in the Quran, or the ones before, or you taught it to some of your servants, or you kept it hidden secretly with you. So how many names and attributes belong to Allah? Uncountable. But Allah revealed some to us. This is how you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, another way that you connect and find this relationship with Allah is salah, prayer. And that is also called dhikr, which means remembrance. The best type of dhikr is salah, prayer. And that is the one where Allah says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Behold, in remembrance of Allah, the hearts find comfort. I'll show you this other story, and I've said it probably before, I don't know. Again, my little daughter. Anyway, once she saw me praying after we finished, long time ago. And she said, I need a ladder. She said, what do you need a ladder for? What do you need a ladder for? She goes, I want to climb up to the sky and hug Allah. And just by herself. I said, Baba, in Arabic, Baba means your dear father asks you, I'm your dear father, it's Arabic terminology, mean daughter, beloved daughter. You can't hug Allah that way. And then I asked, why do you want to hug Allah anyway? She said, because He gave me everything. So I said, well, there's a better way to hug Allah, in her language. I said, by praying, what I just did before. You know what she said? She goes, is this why we do this? Hugging. I said, maybe. For a little child, you got to talk to them at their level. Of course, as she grew older, we taught her differently. My brothers and sisters, this is called fitrah, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in every child an innate nature that when they are born naturally to turn to Allah. They find a connection with God until society, parents, or someone else changes their ideology. That's what our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. My brothers and sisters, so love in Islam, when we talk about God's love, loving Allah, Allah loving you, That's not the... In Islam, love has a different perspective. It's a relationship. Love with Allah is a relationship. As for love, it increases and decreases. But the relationship, the more it increases, the more the love grows. The less the relationship is, the less the love grows. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran,
وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا قال كذلك أتتك آياتنا فنسيتها وكذلك اليوم تنسى.
And whoever turns away from my remembrance, meaning you choose to move away knowingly, I don't want God, I don't need God in my life, turns away to other things, then the result of that, Allah says, not as a punishment, it's just the natural consequence of a punishment in itself. The natural consequence will be that their life will turn into something like claustrophobic. No matter how rich or poor you get, no matter how healthy or how good looking or how sick, or it doesn't really matter what you get, you're always feeling tight inside, tight chested. Nothing is doing it for you. And on the day of judgment, we gather him blind. And he will say, my Lord, why did you gather me blind when I used to see in the former life? And he will reply, just like the way we sent to you our verses and you chose to turn away and forget about them. And today you will be forgotten. So the way that you are treated is the way that you put forward. مِثْلَ مَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ. The way you put forward is the way that you will receive. May Allah not make us one of them. The point of that ayah is not to scare you, but an awareness of how do we know the difference between when I can feel, where, how I can feel security, safety, love, and relationship with Allah, and when I feel that the relationship has gone dark or cold. And we feel it between each other. When someone goes cold on you, this is what we say, they've gone cold on me. Metaphorically speaking, correct? Because you feel cold. What's the other word? When somebody's talking to you and suddenly they stop talking to you, what's it called? There's a word for it, Gen X. Stonewall? There's another one. Huh? Ghost. Yeah, they ghost you. the Jess generation. They ghost you. Well, that's perfect. They ghost you. You feel like you're dead or something. Ghost. Stonewall. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't stonewall Allah. Don't do that. I mean, obviously, you can't stonewall Allah, alhamdulillah, but you know, the metaphoric word. Don't ghost yourself from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, there was a young man who I taught at school. He became a pilot, mashallah. He's probably sitting amongst you. I don't know. So he called me up and said, I'm afraid of flying. He became a pilot. I'm afraid of flying. First flight. First flight ever. So, you know, I spoke to him and I brought him statistics. I brought him statistics from the past. Statistics of how many plane crashes have happened. And the amount of plane crashes, I forgot which year, I think it's 2019, for example. I think, I forgot the figures, but over 1 million planes had flown and landed, and only 0.something% were recorded as plane crashes. Now? Yeah, we don't want to scare everybody right now, Akhi. We're talking statistics. But, yeah, the tragedy that happened in India. No. sadly. But the amount of crashes that happen are 0.0 something. There are more car accidents, there are more people that die walking on the footpath than plane crashes. And then I said, put your trust in Allah, go and make wudu, to give 2 rak'ahs to Allah and say, oh Allah, I put my trust in you and I give you everything. You deal with my case. Now summon courage and bravery and say, Allah did not bring you here for no reason. He wants something out of you. So move and say, tawakkaltu ala Allah. I put my confidence and trust in Allah. Say it, and go. He's flown now, mashallah, dozens of times. I saw him the other day. Said, what happened with the thing? He goes, what thing? I go, that advice I gave you. He goes, alhamdulillah, I'm flying many times. He forgot. That's a beautiful thing, you forget. And some women, after giving birth, the pain they go through, next minute, I want another one. Allah makes us forget out of His mercy. So there's always a way out of fear, inshallah. The majority of the time in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acknowledges and validates that we get afraid. Allah said to the mother of Musa alayhi salam, فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the mother of Musa, don't be afraid. And then he said, فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمْ But if you get afraid that someone may come to your son and take him, put him in a casket and put him in the Nile River. وَلَا تَخَافِي And do not be afraid. وَلَا تَحْزَنِي And don't be saddened. Because after fear comes what? Sadness. And both of them are debilitating. إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ We will return him back to you and we're going to make him among the messengers. So there's always hope. Allah constantly in the Quran, any verse you read about fear, the story of fear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala follows it up with hope and comfort. Because after fear comes comfort. Allah says to Musa alayhi salam, خُذْهَا وَلَا تَخَفْ O Moses, take the staff which looks like a snake. It looks like a snake. That's why you're afraid. But it's only an illusion, Moses, I told you. خُذْهَا وَلَا تَخَفْ Take it, don't be afraid. سَنُعِيدُهَا سِيرَتَهَا الْأُولَى It'll return back to the way it was. Things don't stay the way they are. In psychology, they tell you that 99% of our fears about the future don't really happen. And I remember one of the scholars who passed away, who used to make tafsir of the Qur'an, tabarakallah, I think it was Sheikh Sha'rawi, who once said, often people, when thinking about a fear of the future, they experience more fear and anxiety in the process before it happens than when it actually happens. When it actually happens, your fear goes down and you get into the what? Action. Deal with it. Dwight, he said, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings you support at the time you need it. So put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what was it before? That was from the shaitan and from your own, what you are telling yourself. A sister once wrote to me saying, actually recently, says, I have an autistic child. You know autism? Ever heard of it? It's a condition. They come in different levels. Some are mild, some are minor, some are pretty, you know, hard to deal with. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist all parents who have autistic children. As a teacher, I've seen it before. And they teach us to deal with it. Anyway, a sister says, I fear her future. I fear, will she get married? Will she get better? Will she? And subhanAllah, I remind you of the mother of Moses. Always. Don't worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after her. Hajar, the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, with her only baby in the middle of the desert? Khalas. When he walked away, alayhi salam, Prophet Ibrahim, she said, Allahu amaraka bihada, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command you to do this? He says, yes. Then she said, idhan la yudayyu'an Allah. Idhan la yudayyu'an Allah. Therefore, Allah will not lose us. We learn this thing called tawakkul. Reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Putting your confidence in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan will be good. You got to let go a little bit. Insha'Allah, she will be okay. But then again, in any situation of fear, brothers and sisters, you might get whispers in your head telling you, why me? How long is this going to last? Why? Naturally, we do think like that sometimes. Not disbelief in Allah, but the thoughts come to us. You got to change the way you think about it by reading from the Quran, connecting yourself with the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. إِذَا فَزِعَ, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt fear or feelings of anxiousness. إِذَا هَمَّهُ أَمْرٍ, if there was something that worried him, فَزِعَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ, he used to rush to the prayer. Salah calms you down. Allah calms you down. But you got to take your time in salah and read your verses slow. If you're reading out loud, prolong them, pause. Wallahi, it has a tremendous effect. Calms your system down. So run to the salah. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe Allah has put you through this type of challenge and hardship in which you feel fear and sometimes sadness for a purpose and a reason beyond your comprehension. I'll give you an example. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the hadith is in Sahih Ibn Hibban 575 and Sunan Abu Dawood 3090, authenticated by Albani. When a person does not have enough good deeds to reach a certain level in Jannah, but Allah Ta'ala wants him to attain that level, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala tests him and puts him through difficult trials, such as in his body or in his health, or in his children. Then Allah makes him or her endure with patience. He gives them the strength to be patient through it until he or she reaches the rank decreed for him or her, and he enters paradise. Isn't that the ultimate goal for us? The majority of us forget that after this world, there's another world. So we think in this short-lived world. What about beyond it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may put that person in that knowing that you will be able to endure it. He won't put something on you that he knows you won't endure. And some people might say, well, how can you say that? Some person got this particular sickness, couldn't endure it, and they died. What do you mean endure? No, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean that you won't die or you won't go through hardships, no. What it means is that you get through it while your piety, righteousness, your morals, your connection and relationship to Allah, your peace and serenity and tranquility in your heart remains. You endure through it like that. And you anticipate the reward from Allah. And you're able to look forward beyond just this world of what is in store for you. Listen to what Allah says in Sahih Muslim, this hadith, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away, meaning they die, takes away in death a close beloved of yours, Allah says, when Allah says, the hadith Qudsi, he says, when I take away the beloved person of one of my worshippers on earth, one of my servants, and then that worshipper of mine, that servant, ihtasabahu, احتسبه, the word in Arabic, difficult to translate in English, but the close meaning is, and looks forward to the reward and what Allah has in store for them for their perseverance and patience. Because how do you have patience? You've got to look forward to something. You've got to look for a compensation. You've got to look for something that will replace your grief, your anger, your frustration. So Allah tells you, احتسبه, I've got something for you. Think of me, think about what I told you. Follow what Allah told you. I'm not going to leave you alone, number one. There is a purpose for this and it had to happen now. So trust in me. And I'm not going to leave you. For every endurance you go through, there is something for you awaiting. And this beloved of yours is not going forever. I'm going to reunite you with them. احتسبه. You leave it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's your compensation. Allah says, I have no other reward for that person except for paradise. That's it. Meaning that's the ultimate thing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, you're favored. You're amazing. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may see in you a quality or an attribute that is so strong in you. You are special with that attribute. Sometimes you may be so good in compassion. What is Allah's name? The most compassionate. At times you may have the quality of mercy and empathy. What is Allah? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Al-Wadud. Empathetic. You might have an attribute of kindness in a smarter way than other people, in a better way than Allah. What is Allah's name? Al-Latif. You may have a strong leadership and justice. What is Allah's name? Al-Adl. You may have the ability of generosity. What is Allah's name? The most generous, Al-Kareem. Some of Allah's names and attributes don't befit people. So we don't say we can be Allah's attributes. Some attributes are only to Allah. For example, Al-Mutakabbir, the one who is full of pride. There is no one beyond Allah, because pride is only for the one who has no diminishes, who has no shortcomings. Allah is perfect, He has the right to the most proud. A human being can't be like that. That's arrogance. But the other names and attributes which a human being can have, guess what? Through that attribute that you have strong in you, Allah attaches you in a relationship with Him with that name and attribute of His. So you find your relationship with Allah through your compassion, because Allah is the most compassionate. His is the ultimate compassion, and you have a taste, a mirror of that. And so on. Perhaps, for example, this mother who has an autistic child or has fears for her future, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put that child with her because she's the one deserving of this blessing. Blessing and deserving. See how the mind of the believer Allah wants us to channel it to? So what do you do with it? Work with it. This is your test. This is it. At least you know what it is. Some people don't know what their test is. They say, why? What is going on? This is your test. If it's poverty, it's your test. If it's sickness, it's your test. The one who doesn't know is the one who has everything. And they think that Allah is pleased with them while they're not doing anything good, because they have more money or because they have better health and so on. But don't fear. Perhaps this is the way for you to be connected to Allah. My brothers and sisters, these are obviously not my words. There is a great scholar by the name of Ibn al-Qayyim who wrote a book called Iddatul Sabirin and also Al-Wabil al-Sayyib, which means Nourishing Rainfall and The Way to Patience and Gratitude. Beautiful two books by Imam al-Qayyim. He says, certainly, since he, glory be to him, is truly the most thankful, the most beloved of his creations, to him are those who embody the trait of gratitude, just as the most detested of gratitude are those who neglect it or embody its opposite. This reflects the nature of his beautiful names, Allah's names. The most beloved of his creations are those who manifest what these names mean and necessitate, while the most detested are those who embody the opposite of what Allah's names and attributes are. For this reason, he said, he detests the disbeliever, the unjust, the ignorant, the arrogant, the hard-hearted, the miserly, the cowardly, the dishonorable, and the vile. Because none of these are Allah's names and attributes. They're the opposite. And he, glory be to him, is beautiful and loves beauty, knowledgeable and loves the learned, merciful and loves those who show mercy, benevolent and loves the benefactors, concealing and loves those who conceal the faults of others, meaning the faults of others which are not harming other people, so they don't go around exposing and parading them, they give them advice. Capable and reproaches weakness, the strong believer is more beloved to him than the weak believer. He is forgiving and loves forgiveness, singular and loves singularity, meaning that he loves that you worship him alone, and so on. Whatever he loves stems from the effects of his names and attributes and what they necessitate, and whatever he detests opposes and contradicts his names and attributes. So, brother and sister, if you are given a blessing where any of these names and attributes, the mirror of them, the effect of them, is manifested in you through that action that you have, then thank Allah night and day, my brother and sister. You are a walking worshipper of Allah in a paradise in this world that extends to the paradise in the hereafter. And that is the meaning of Ibn Taymiyyah when he said in his book, فِي الدُّنْيَا جَنَّةً, in this world there is a paradise. مَنْ لَمْ يَدْخُلْهَا لَمْ يَدْخُلْ جَنَّةَ الْآخِرَةِ. Whoever in this world there is a paradise, whoever does not enter it will not enter the paradise of the hereafter. This is the paradise. The connection with Allah's names and attributes, worshipping Allah and having correct belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Correct belief and correct faith. Finally, brothers and sisters, the way to deal with fears, whether it's fears in this world, of the future, of the unknown, fears of things that have happened to you, fears of the hereafter, monitor and practice these six things. In Islam, the Muslim is encouraged to have confidence in Allah's plan regardless of the outcome. Allah says, وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever relies and puts their trust in Allah, then He is sufficient for him. Number two, dua. Dua and supplication. Engaging in sincere prayer can help alleviate fears and provide clarity in decision making. The Prophet ﷺ, as I said before, often turned to Allah in times of uncertainty. Just pray to Allah. Give two rakas. Number three, seeking knowledge and preparation. Striving to learn and improve skills can reduce feelings of inadequacy and fear of failure. Isn't that true? Equip yourself with skills and knowledge. A friend of mine told me, colleague of mine, that one time, funny story, whether you agree with it or not, I just want to point out of it. You can argue it when you leave here. This brother was picking up his daughter from school. And I forgot if he hit a car or something like that. The guy from the other car, big man, came up to him, knocked on his door, and this, he said, I'd like to talk to you. Or I think it was, that other guy's daughter and this man's daughter had a fight at school. Right? So the father went and complained. And then the father of the other girl, he sees him, comes to his car, knocks on the door. He winds down the window and says, can you come out and have a talk? This brother, he had no intention of anything. He came out and the other guy began punching him. He punched him to the ground and knocked him out. That other brother was hit in front of his wife, in front of his children. He happened to be an accountant. Doesn't matter, I'm just joking. And the accountant can still also defend themselves, right? Sorry, I looked at you, brother. You're not an accountant, are you? No. Anyway, what did this brother do? His wife said, go to the police, whatever. Do you want to? Well, they called the police. The police said, do you want to press charges? He said, no. Nothing, goes, no. He was injured from head to toe. Why did he say no? He had other plans. He went and he learnt martial arts, jiu-jitsu, kickboxing for 6 months. Came back, saw this guy in front of his own wife and children. He said, I want to talk to you. He goes, now it's one-on-one, come on. Puts his arms up, the brother belted him. The other guy's son jumps on him, he belted him too. Now that friend of mine who's talking, I said, he's my hero. He said, no, brother, subhanAllah, we don't want to do all this. Like, use other means. They might go and egg his house or whatever. Actually, they did. They went and egged his house, by the way. I said, doesn't matter, you know. We disagreed on the method. But the point of that is that this brother broke his fears by learning a skill to defend himself with. Now, you don't have to use it, but what I'm saying is when you do build yourself with skills and knowledge, it helps you with your fears. Yeah? Number four, understanding the nature of trials. What are trials? They are tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran,
وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ.
We shall surely test you with something of fear and hunger and a loss of wealth and lives and fruits. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And give good news to those who are persevering and patient. Chapter 2, verse 155. Recognizing that failure can be part of a larger divine plan can help from challenges in a more positive light. Number five, reflecting on past experiences. Now, you've got to be very careful with this one because fear comes from reminiscing on past experiences. You remember, this is going to happen again. This is not what I mean, actually. What I mean by reflecting on past experiences, it means that this can help individuals view fear or failure as a learning opportunity rather than a defeat. You learn from it. A baby doesn't learn how to walk except by falling. A baby has no time for fear because it needs to walk. So it falls and learns, it falls 100 times and learns 100 different ways of how not to fall next time by falling 100 times. And lastly, number six, encouragement of perseverance, sabr. Allah says, oh, you have believed, seek help through patience and prayer. Indeed, Allah is with the patient. Chapter 2, verse 1, Surah 2, verse 153. And this highlights, brothers and sisters, the importance of enduring challenges with a positive mindset. And by incorporating all of what I said, these six factors and these principles into your daily life, a believer can confront the fear of failure with a sense of purpose, resilience, and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom. This is Sheikh Yusuf Estaz's joke. Now, in case it works out, he gets the credit. If it doesn't, at least you won't blame me, right? So he's sitting there, gives this joke. He says, there was this guy who's working at a place, and he's a Muslim, but there's no signs of Islam on him, nothing. So this other friend of his, non-Muslim, is reading about Islam, and he goes, hey, I've been reading about this religion, Islam. He says, yeah, Islam is the best, you know, this is the Quran that you're reading over here, the best book in the world, it's God's word, it's nothing can beat it. He goes, oh, I mean, it is magnificent, but I've never really heard you talk about the Quran or recite anything of this Quran. He says, yeah, I'm a Muslim, but I don't really read the Quran. He goes, oh, okay. Next time he sees him, he goes, oh, you know, I read in this Quran, you guys do these 5 daily prayers. He goes, yeah, the best thing connects you with God. The best is all the prophets used to pray. It's even in the Bible, man. He goes, yeah, all right, all good, but I've never really seen you pray. He goes, yeah, I'm a Muslim, but I don't really pray. This is another day he goes, hey, I was reading on this Quran, it says you guys fast, you don't eat or drink in the day. It's called, he goes, yeah, that's called Ramadan. It's Ramadan, yeah, Ramadan. He goes, you know Ramadan? He goes, yeah, yeah. He goes, I've never seen you fast, you're always eating. He goes, yeah, yeah, I'm a Muslim, but I don't really fast Ramadan, you know. Sees him another time, brings up Hajj. Yeah, it's Hajj thing and whatever people are going there, he goes, yeah, yeah, it's Hajj, beautiful, you know, Abraham and Hajj, and you know, even there's a woman that goes past Safa and Marwa, you know, Islam honors women and so on. He goes, that's beautiful, all beautiful, but have you gone to Hajj? He goes, no, it cost a lot of money and a lot of effort, you know, God knows my intention, I don't really go to Hajj. I'm a Muslim, but I don't go to Hajj. So he looks at him and he goes, I know what you are. He goes, you're a Muslim, but all you now need is some arms, some legs and a body and you'll be a full Muslim. I love him. I love Sheikh Yusuf Estes. He looks at the guy next to him after he said this joke. No one's laughing. And he goes, laugh. May Allah bless him and bless those who are like him. Ameen. Now, some people might look at me and say, come on, Sheikh, how are you going to leave us on this note, putting people down? Some people have issues. Some people don't know deen. Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's just a joke. Yeah, and he's saying, it's a bad joke, but he's saying that, you know, don't, if you know Islam and you know what you're doing, alhamdulillah, nothing's missing from you, you know, give Islam a ride, practice it, inshallah, it'll serve you and help you with your fears, with your anxieties, with your everything, inshallah ta'ala. Allah, ya akhwan, brothers and sisters, life is short, and our fears will go, and what you feared will often go away, nothing ever stays the same. If you're still a child right now, you're a teenager, mashallah, you've got your whole life ahead of you, tabarakallah, inshallah. You know, it's not worth for you to sit there fearing things and worrying. Yeah, and fear to a certain extent, but also have hope and always anticipate. Why not have an abundance mindset? Say, there's enough for me, alhamdulillah, things will be good. What Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'll finish on this note, probably better. I've said it three times, but this is the third time, last. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, I don't like pessimism. وَأُحِبُّ الْفَأَلِ I love optimism. فَتَفَاءَلُ You know, have optimism. No matter what has happened to you, find a way to find optimism. InshaAllah, you'll see doors open بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah bless you, my brothers and sisters, reward you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist and support our brothers and sisters in Gaza, in Syria, and everywhere around the world, those who are in destitution, those who are suffering, those who are hungry, and everywhere else around the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring people to justice and guide us to that which is best for our life and our hereafter. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين.